Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's up, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty here on a Wednesday night for your Thursday listening and viewing pleasure. That's right. We're coming in a little bit early. UKers, Oceania people, thank us later. We're going to have a fun show today. We're going to talk to former Strikeforce late heavyweight champion King Mo, also a former All-American D1 wrestler and representative of the United States in international wrestling, now currently a coach at American Top Team. I love covering all of his accolades because he's done a lot. Also cover the latest news, of course. Khabib's tripping. He doesn't want green card girls anymore. All right, that's his opinion. It ain't mine, that's for sure. And, of course, the latest stuff going on with vaccines, man. A few athletes that are dead set against it. Others have fallen hard to COVID. You know, we'll touch a little bit about that. And, of course, the shows that are coming up this weekend, including PFL Week 9, 2021. We got the light heavyweights and the women's lightweights in action. Couple semis there. The winners advance to the finals in October. They compete for $1 million. UFC, of course, always coming through with the card on Saturday night. We'll talk about that as well. So buckle up, Junkie Nation. King Mo, join us to start things off. There he is. What's going on, King Mo? Been a minute. Glad to talk to you.
What's going on, yo?
Not much. How about yourself?
Man, just chilling, man. Chilling. That's about it.
You can talk about any subject, and that's why we love having you. So let's start knocking them off here. USA, 9 medals in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Yes, I know what happened in 2021, but that's how it'll be referred to. How proud were you of the men and women coming strong with 9 medals, more than any other country?
They did a great job, man. Stellar. You know, shows that the United States is number one, man. We're on top.
David Taylor and Gable Stevenson having to come from behind. Tamara Mensa, you know, everybody rallied for those gold medals, but those comeback stories were amazing, weren't they?
Yeah, man. You know, for some reason, you know, in wrestling, everybody's an underdog. Even if you're the favorite, you're the underdog at one point. And these guys were the favorites, but were the underdogs in these matches and made it happen when it needed to happen.
The freestyler from Georgia, though, he was a tough customer. He actually came back from like 3 points down to take like a 5-point lead. But he, I think he was a defending world champion, you know, gold medalist. And Gable Stevenson at age 21, like, is that one of the closest finishes you've ever seen at that high level of a tournament in terms of a comeback?
No, actually, man, you see it all the time. Every year you see something spectacular like that happen. And each year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So, yes, this has been big, but the years before, I've seen plenty that are just as big.
Now, I know you're with us late on a Wednesday here recording, so again, I'm going to bust through these, but if you want to pull anything back, let me know. My next question would be Gable Stevenson. Go back for your senior year. Of course, now you got name, image, and likeness. It's called NIL, where the athletes can make some money, and you got to believe gold medalists for the United States going to your senior year, he may be able to actually make some of that money like some of the college football players are going to be making next year. That's an option. You go for your second All-American, go for your second national title. Then, of course, some are saying, nah, man, the world of pro wrestling awaits. Brock Lesnar's his boy. Paul Heyman wants to be his sidekick, you know, so that would help ease him into the business. And then lastly, there's MMA. What say you, King Mo? What should Gable Stevenson do?
Well, if I were Gable Stevenson, I would talk to his family. Close family, close friends, and people that he can trust. And they should sit down and discuss what his options are. Because, you know, everybody's different. You know, he has many options, so I feel like maybe he should sit down with his close ones, close loved ones, and figure out what he should do, figure out his own path.
Give me some quick pros and cons of pro wrestling that you experienced.
Well, the injuries, the traveling for those that get to that high level, but mainly it's the injuries. Everybody, you know, has to deal with them. And when you get to that level, you have to push through them. You see guys like Hulk Hogan, you see how he walks. He can't walk from doing the double leg drop. You know, there's certain guys that have these injuries that linger over and over and over, and you wouldn't know because they still can, they still go out there and compete and showcase their skills on a weekly basis.
I've seen some of that in MMA as well, though. Some of the older guys that are retired, like Don Fry is a good friend of the show. He's had a lot of surgeries, so MMA can do the same. But what would be the pros and cons of MMA, and how would you size that up to if we focus on injuries to what the wrestlers experience in pro wrestling?
Well, see, the thing is, in pro wrestling, when you get to that high level, it's the grind. It's a weekly thing where you're performing and putting your body on the line on a weekly basis. With MMA, when you're training with the right team, they're going to steer you the right way and make sure you're getting the right training and make sure you're not getting banged up. Each path has its pro and con, or pros and cons, but really, I can't speak on it. You know, that's up to Gable Stevenson. And he's the man. It's his body. You know, he knows what he wants to know. He's talked to Brock Lesnar, who's done both. He speaks to Paul Heyman, I'm pretty sure, and other people. So he knows what he's going to do. I can't speak on it, but I know he knows the right path for him.
Would you want him at American Top Team if he was to go down the road of MMA? I mean, I think it's a slam dunk, probably a yes. But at the same time, would there be a reason for him not to go there?
If he'd want to come to American Top Team, yeah, we sure would love to have him here. Just for him, just go where he feels comfortable. But I know he feels comfortable here in American Top Team. We have a great squad. But really, that's up to him, man. He still has to go out there and visit these gyms, or he still has to figure out what he wants to do. You know, MMA might not even be an option for him. Who knows? People brought it up to him because he is a bad man, but the WWE is right there. Acting is there. He can do a lot of things. You know, I'm pretty sure he's just hearing about what he has, what his options are just now. So, you know, he gets time to sit back and think about things.
Update us on American Top Team, because in the media and fans, we like to throw around the same names. But sometimes we don't even realize that somebody may not have even been in the gym. Like, I'll give you an example. People say, Yoel Romero, American Top Team. And then you talk to someone from American Top Team, they'll say, well, he only comes in once a year. He kind of has his own gym, that type of thing. So what I want to ask you is, we were saying the same thing. King Mo, Steve Mako. Those are two names that I know that could help a Gable Stevenson. But what else does American Top Team bring in terms of wrestling and in terms of guiding a wrestler towards success in MMA?
Well, bring that. What are you asking me now? Bring that back.
So who are the top wrestling names at American Top Team that he could learn from? You, Steve Mako, and then are there other names as well?
Coach Brown, you know, he wrestled, but went at the highest level, but he knows how to translate, uses wrestling for grappling, as well as we have other jiu-jitsu guys, Johnny Eblen, he's a good wrestler. Danny Sabatello is a great wrestler. Mahmoud Sibi is a Greco guy. We have a lot of good wrestlers there, a lot of people from Russia that do Sambo as well. So he has a lot of people he can pick and choose from, you know, at the MMA level, and guys that have been, you know, the retired level. So I don't know. It's up to him to pick and choose his path on how he wants to fight.
I've heard a lot of people give the opinion of, why not do WWE while you're honing your MMA skills? And the first thing I think of is, you can't just walk off the street and be in the WWE. Like, it takes training. You don't want to get hurt doing that. and it's going to take a lot of a big toll on your body. Is it kind of one or the other, Mo, or would it be possible to not only train to be a pro wrestler, but also do some MMA training on the side? Can you do both at the same time?
It could be done. I think it could be done, but it would be hard. But it could be done. I don't think you'd be able to reach the highest level that you could in MMA or pro wrestling. You'd have to really commit to one or the other. So, like, pick one, commit to that one, but at the same time, try to learn some of the basics of the other. But that's what, that's what I'd probably do, but who knows? I don't know what he's going to do.
We've often said that the UFC is no place to learn on the job. What about almost like that Daniel Cormier blueprint where he started a couple fights on the regional scene and then built up and eventually did one of the big shows? Is that a better route for him? If it were you, what route would you take it? Regional, then a big show, straight into the big show? How would you deal with that?
Well, it just depends because, whoever wants to sign him, they could put in their contract or do something like, hey, let's build him. So they could give him certain regional style shows or regional level shows on a bigger stage and build them. That could be done because now you see, Bellator has pockets, the UFC has pockets, ONE FC has pockets, Ryzen has pockets. So there's money there. So, they could possibly build them, just sign one-off fighters and help build him within the organization.
I did want to ask you about, I can't believe I'm saying this, the big boxing matchup this weekend, Tyron Woodley and Jake Paul. I don't know where you're at with Jake Paul. At first, we couldn't stand it. Now we get a little bit of a kick out of him. But one of the questions that I did want to ask that I've been hearing when people are breaking this down, people talk about Tyron Woodley and where he's at in his career now. I guess my question to you is, does that matter? Like, would a younger Tyron Woodley be in a better spot right now than a seasoned veteran Tyron Woodley?
It just depends on what he knew as a boxer at the time. Because people have to remember, this is boxing. It's not MMA. Now, as a competitor, Tyron Woodley can compete. He can compete. He can punch. He's athletic. It's a different sport, though. I haven't seen him box. I've seen him box and move around, but, I've never seen him box. But I know he has some skills, though. I know he's not no dummy. I know he was in Vegas training with GT and Floyd. I know he was down in Miami with Pedro Diaz. So I'm pretty sure he picked up some skills.
You think he gets the job done on Sunday night, or you think Jake Paul got his number?
It'll depend if Willie can establish a jab, because Jake Paul is pretty long and rangy. He can punch. He has some hand speed, but if Willie can get on the inside, let his hands go, keep pressure on him, keep the jab in his face, and just keep him tied up, I think Willie can get the job done.
Do you enjoy these matches, these boxing matches? I can't call him celebrity because he's a YouTube guy. He's a YouTube sensation facing an MMA guy, but they're both meeting in boxing. So I call it low-level, high-appeal boxing matches. Do you even enjoy this?
It's entertainment, I guess. I don't go crazy for it, but I think that, I'm hoping Willie can get the job done. I'll tune in to watch him, but I don't go crazy for it. I'd rather watch, Benavidez versus Uzagatagi, which got pushed back. That'd be a good boxing match right there.
I know you've been working on some stuff, so I don't want to say it out loud without your permission or just maybe allowing you to share it. But stuff outside of MMA and wrestling, where are you at with talking about it? I mean, you've posted publicly, but what kind of an update can you give us on some of the projects you're working on?
As far as which ones?
combining the ground game with punches.
Oh, yeah. My combat grappling.
Yeah.
My mixed grappling arts. Yeah, I'm still tweaking on that, man. I got the foundation set. You know, I'm making a few more modifications, but I'm going to send it out back to the commissions again to get it okay.
You have a dream of being a black promoter in combat sports. What gave you that dream? Have you always had that? Like, was it something like where you saw Don King and said, I want to do something like him, but I don't want to have like the reputation that he has? Or is it something that only spurred after you retired from mixed martial arts? Like, how long have you thought about it, and what would you like to accomplish in that type of a role?
I don't know. I always thought about it, but I just never thought it could be a possibility until I came up with this concept. And really, I just want to provide an avenue for people to showcase their skills. It's another form of combat, you know, so this is another way out for some people. It's another way to express themselves. So I just want to see what I can do with this and how far I can go.
Is this the type of thing where you think the Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy is going to have a little bit of a lead, or the wrestler is going to have a little bit of a lead? Who do you think, like, for example, when the UFC started in 1983, Brazilian jiu-jitsu kind of was holding court for a couple years. Then the wrestlers came in, you know, they were holding court for a couple years. Then Maurice Smith, you know, he flipped the lid on everything. Kickboxer who could keep the fight standing. So early on in a sport like what you're trying to do, who do you think would be some of the tough customers early on?
Tough customers. Definitely Khabib. Like, the match with him to make would be Khabib versus GSP. Because you start off in the clinch, and then once the action gets to the ground, you can throw punches and look for submissions. There's passivity involved, so if someone's being passive, you get penalized. But I think that match right there would set the tone, because Khabib is very well-rounded, and GSP is well-rounded but very athletic. And I don't know, because then you got someone like Ben Askren who could come in. And I think guys like, you know, Daryl Christians, like there's a guy, Daryl Christians, who's a coach. He coached TJ Dillashaw and many guys you see in out there in Orange County, I believe. And he was a Greco-Roman wrestler. But I believe, like, if he was younger and this was around, he would have been dominant in this. You know, you see guys like Bo Nickel, you know, guys like Kyle Dake, they could do this. This is for everybody that has a folk style of grappling, they can come to this sport and showcase what their grappling art is about.
I got a silly question for you, Mo.
Yeah.
George brought up American Top Team, all right? I can't go through my social media without seeing somebody eating shit on these milk crates. So I want you to give me the one person that would make it and the one person that would absolutely eat shit.
Okay, making it, I can name two. Kiyoshi Horiguchi and Adriano Moran. They would definitely make it. Maybe Moicano, maybe. But definitely not make it, Alexei Oleinik. I'm just saying, he's tough, though. He would submit me. But I think I beat him across them crates. I definitely think I could beat him in that.
How far would you make it?
How far would he?
No, you. How far do you think you could do it?
Yeah, I could do it, but I'm not going to.
How much would it take for you to try?
I'm not trying to embarrass myself. I'm okay. I'm injured enough. I have enough injuries as it is. I'm not trying to risk it. I'm pretty sure I could get past the top, but then coming back down, I'd probably fall off.
All right.
Could Olenek Ezekiel you from the bottom?
Yeah. One time we were sparring and he clinched me up and he locked it up. You know, we were standing and he locked it on me, right? It was like a standing arm triangle. And I seen the clock and I was trying to fight it. It was like 20 seconds left. And man, I tapped it like 10 seconds left. That boy's so strong. Like, he's the strongest man I've ever grabbed that's ever grabbed me and submitted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Just a couple more questions.
Yeah.
What do you think is the overall thought on the vaccine when it comes to MMA athletes? Some I heard just feel like, hey, we're pro athletes, our immune system's strong enough, and then we've obviously seen some fights pulled because of it, and some fighters go public and say, wow, I had a rough spell with it. Do you think it's just the culture of the gym because you guys are pretty much the BMFs of the planet that it doesn't enter your thought, or, you know, that this thing can hurt you, or I don't know. Why do you think there's two distinct far sides to the right and left in terms of, you know, the vaccine?
Because I feel like some people are like, you know what? I will not take that risk. Let me get that shot. And then some people are like, you know what? I'm in shape. I'm healthy. If I get sick, it won't hurt me. Seeing is believing. And, you know, I know how strong my immune system is. So if I get it, it's probably like the flu or like the cold or something. The TV's lying. Media's lying. So you know what? Seeing is believing. If I get sick, I get sick. Whatever. So some people ain't taking it serious. Some people are. That's how it is with everybody.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of staph infections back in the day, you know, like they would just run rampant, and then the athletes would get a little bit more serious about, not just the athletes, but the gym, sweeping the mats or cleaning the mats, mopping the mats, whatever, insisting that the athletes come with clean clothes and breaking the action with there's blood or whatever. It seems like we just don't hear about it as much anymore, but you could tell. We'd find out afterwards when a fighter would fight with, you know, a staph infection or things like that. And now it's just a whole different animal. The sport evolves in many ways.
That's true.
Yeah. You still keeping bees?
Yep. I got 7 beehives.
And you got stung recently, right? Where did you get stung?
I haven't been stung in a while. I wore my bee suit.
Right, but about 4 months ago, 6 months ago, didn't they take a whack at you? You got like you got jumped by a gang of bees, didn't you?
Yeah, I went out there trying to be bold, and I didn't have no face protection on, and got stung in my nose, on my nose, on my lip, in my mouth, on my neck. Man, they lit me up.
In your nose, they got you?
Yeah, they got me in my nose. See, when my nose, I try to blow it out. It stung me on the way out. I got stung on the nose. It was bad.
Did you look worse than some of your MMA fights, you know, when it didn't go your way, or even if you went the distance but won and you got lumped up?
I looked worse because it looked like I had a botched lip surgery, a botched nose surgery. My eyes were swollen. But luckily, I had to wear a mask, so I stayed masked up so no one could see me. It was bad.
That's funny. All right, man. Well, listen, thanks for always jumping on with us. It's always great catching up with you and covering these different subjects. We really appreciate your time tonight.
Right, thank y'all, man. I appreciate y'all having me on.
All right, we'll talk soon. See ya. All right, see ya. Folks, former Mike Force light heavyweight champion King Mo, ready to talk about any topic, and makes it so fun and relaxed, doesn't he, Goz?
He does. I remember him saying that, but I didn't know that they got in his mouth and his nose.
Yeah, they told me he got whacked. He said he had about half a dozen to a dozen bites, and he kind of left it at that. He just said he got, you know, he got tattooed, basically. What I didn't know was the specifics, and he kind of tiptoed around it a little, but I figured we're so far removed. He looks fine now. Let's revisit that topic.
Wow. That's scary. I know he has like a pool right by there, but he doesn't swim, right? So he can't even like jump into the pool.
I don't know that situation exactly, but I know that he really enjoys doing what he's doing with the bees. We probably should ask maybe a few more questions, but I think we've asked him in previous episodes. However, yeah, now he's all serious with the beekeeper outfit. I remember this. He told me he did it and he was just wearing sandals. He said he just got cocky because, you know, he had already been working with these bees for a while. He just didn't know they could turn like that.
Well, I guess the mask mandate or whatever did come in handy in that situation.
It sure did, man. I probably would have been wearing the ski mask if I had gotten lit up like him and just said, "That's my look. That's my look," you know, for a little while. Rose, let's jump straight into it. Let's go tough subject first. Okay. Your thoughts on vaccine? Michael Chandler did sign his contract. He is headed for New York. He had stated he may not fight in New York because of the vaccine, but he stated that the holdup at the time was that it wasn't regulated, you know, so the FDA hadn't given its approval. About a month later, which was this past Monday, a few days ago, the FDA did give the approval. He still stated he wasn't get the vaccine. He got a little bit of a hard time on social media with it. I suppose he maybe left an opening, like there could be other reasons. It's just that he wasn't as vocal about that there might be other ones as he was in addressing the FDA portion of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. This is America. You can do what you want. He chose to do what he wanted. He did answer the questions from his fans on social media. And he also made it a point of, we're moving on. You know, I'm fighting Justin Gaethje. It ain't that I don't want to fight Justin Gaethje. That certainly wasn't the excuse. And I'm just not going to do it because I don't want to do it. And that's that. I always tell athletes that's kind of usually the way to go. Don't let it linger. But at the same time, you now hear about Luis Palomino in the hospital. I don't know if you heard the whole video, but it's a five-minute video. He battled like 12 days at his house. It got so bad that they took him in the hospital for a couple days. He had a breathing machine, not a ventilator, a breathing machine. And he sounded like crap. He said he hadn't eaten much. He couldn't drink much. He had headaches that were very, very severe. And he also said that he maybe got out of shape a little bit, but I don't know if that's the reason. I just think Delta gets some of you, you know, because there's a lot of athletes with the stance that I'm a pro athlete. I got a strong immune system. I'll be all right. But you know what? Look, I don't like to play gotcha with these guys, but Khamzat Chimaev looks like as much of a beast as any of these guys. He's even younger than them, you know. Alexander Volkanovski said it himself. Man, it whooped me. You know, it whooped me. It wasn't one of those like, it got me. Ortega, see you in 2 weeks, see you in a month. Hell no, they postponed that thing 6 months. You know, part of it had to do probably because of the Ultimate Fighter, but still. So, you know, Palomino, he seems to be getting better, and we certainly hope that that's the case. But what do you think? This could be something that we talk about for a while, as COVID has not gone anywhere, and it could be something that we just put in the history books like many other things that we've touched on, you know, throughout our careers. Where do you think this thing's going?
I think it's unfortunate what happened to Palomino. It's definitely worth not just reading the article, but going in and hearing it from his mouth, because there's one thing of me sitting here telling you, hey, this is what's going on. But like, you could just see how much of him was taken out, you know, like how tired he was. Him just catching his breath to talk. And oh man, I think it was Isaac Valley Flag. I was saying, like, I couldn't believe the way I was looking at him because that dude built like a tank.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, you know, he had just recently gotten engaged. So he hadn't been sick in 5 years and he did some drinking and he felt like maybe that weakened his immune system, or whatever. But basically, he was saying, look, this thing really came at me.
Really. Yeah, I don't think it was the drinking, man. It just, you know.
I don't know. But yeah, it hit him super, super hard. And it's unfortunate because I would think, I mean, this is just me. I mean, everybody, they have their opinions and all that. But if I'm an athlete, no matter what I really believe, after seeing Chimaev and what he went through, and then knowing that he's like one of the younger guys, and yeah, he had all those problems, that would probably be enough for me. Unless I had like a degree and something to fall back on, that might be enough for me to say, you know what, I'm just going to do it. Because I thought that was kind of like a wake-up call for fighters. And then seeing Palomino now, that's just it's so difficult to see, but I'm glad he did the video rather than over the phone or
hand. Maybe he gets through to one or two fighters, and that's that. And look, folks, I'm not stupid. I know that a lot of you get it, and it's either no symptoms or mild symptoms. So I get why there's hesitancy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dumb enough to think that that's probably the majority of our country or the world, because really this planet is battling a virus, not just our country. But God, I mean, like there's that portion of it where it appears we're going to get to see Luis Palomino back with his family. He says the first thing he's going to do is get the vaccine. And it would be great to see him back in BKFC, where he's done very, very well. Even if he were to come back to MMA, I would imagine he could do okay. But look at the case of Sal Solis. He was a bigger guy, but he wasn't just a complete slob. You know, he trained boxing, black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He cared for himself. He looked after himself. We can't get him back. You know what I mean? At all. We can get maybe Luis Palomino back. That's what we hope. We can't get Sal Solis back. I hope people will understand and think about all this, you know, when they make their decision based on science and hopefully what we found through our experiences with ourselves, our family, and our friends, and not just on a stance of, well, you know, I'm strong, I'm built from Kevlar, it doesn't happen to pro athletes. Come on. I think more thought needs to be put into that, you know what I mean? That those types of comments.
Mm-hmm.
Habib Nurmagomedov, he came up a few minutes ago. That would be his dream matchup for King Mo, for his organization, where you compete in wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and a little bit of hand-to-hand combat. Habib, however, he's got his own promotion. He wants no ring card, girls, goes. My first reaction is, what kind of a world do we live in where we would have no ring card girls? I respect Habib. And he said, it's just not for me. But I think more people would agree with me than Habib. And if he's the promoter of one of these events, I think you want to listen to your fans, don't you?
Well, it depends where he's having them, right? Like, my first thought was he had hired Richard Hunter as the CEO or something. Because he's not a big fan of ring card girls either. But I guess it depends on where he's having them, you know, like, I know his stance on that. Like, I've seen girls ask for pictures before, and depending on what they're wearing, you know, like he might say, turn them down. Yeah. So I kind of get it. It's on him, you know. Let's be honest. If you were to say starting tomorrow, there's no ring card girl in the UFC, the product's not going to lose a beat. But it's just kind of like a tradition that we've always had here in the United States. Mm-hmm. In other places, it might not be so different. You know, like a lot of places don't have halftime shows. If you go to sporting events overseas, you know, over here, every show, even the high school has a band at least that comes out and does it. So I don't know that it would be missed depending on where he does his shows. But it is kind of a tradition here in the United States, and I don't know, to each their own, I guess.
Yeah. Do you think his stance will be similar when it involves women athletes in Eagle Fighting Championships, which is his promotion?
I think it could. Yeah, maybe, possibly.
Yeah, I like Habib, so that's why I don't like to make it sound like I'm clowning or anything like that. It's just that, well, like you said, maybe if he has the fights in Dagestan, where he's from, or maybe the areas surrounding that where they just, you know, they don't believe in seeing half-naked women, you know, walking around the apron, telling you what round it is. What I found, though, is that most of the world does enjoy that. So if he doesn't plan on going abroad, then because he doesn't have to worry about that. And that's what it's as simple as that. But if you took a poll, I think, of most MMA fans, look, our traffic don't lie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's times that we post Instagram, you know, talking about an athlete through the years and bringing them up to date, you know, of somebody's photos and videos. And boy, that traffic soars through the roof. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Habib, he's a character. I want to hear your opinion on what he said about Jose Aldo. You know, we addressed this on Spinning Backlick, but you weren't on this week's panel. Conor McGregor, of course, had Jose Aldo's back. What did you think of all that?
I just thought it was sort of odd. Like, it was a little bit out of his personality, I think, to do that. His explanation just didn't match. Like, usually when Habib opens his mouth, like, he can back it up with facts or something. This might be the one time where I was like, this must be weird. Like, there must be some underlining issue that we don't know about or something, because for him to just kind of do that, I just didn't think his argument really held.
Yeah. And McGregor doesn't hesitate to come at Habib, right? I mean, Habib could rescue a kitten from a tree and hand it to its rightful owner, a little girl, and I think Conor would find something wrong with it. I mean, he's just waiting to go at his old nemesis. But in this case, I think he had he was in the right. He backed up Aldo and Donald Cerrone.
Mm-hmm.
Going on to this weekend, we have PFL semifinals. The featherweights, Loughnane leading the way versus Movlid Shebulaev. Those are the featherweights. And then we also have light heavyweights, including Emiliano Soriani, the defending champion in the light heavyweight division. He's one of the four semifinalists competing for $1 million. So after this event that's coming up on Friday, we'll know all the finalists in all six divisions. Who moves on, in your opinion?
That one's tough. I'm going to say Bubba Jenkins has just been kind of – he's really impressed me this season. He's kind of just come out of nowhere. So, oh, man. It's going to be a tough fight with Wade. But, yeah, I think if he can fight the way he's been fighting, then I think he can get past Wade. And then I think it'll come down to Loughnane on the other side. But I don't think that fight – I know Loughnane, he did an interview with us, and he was saying – you know, what's it take? He's still got a tough fight ahead of him. But I think there was just something about that kid that he just fought. The kid that was on Tough before. What was his name? He was a zombie. Remember in that fight? Tyler Diamond. There was something to him just being tougher than normal. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that was like the perfect push for Brendan Loughnane to shore up anything he needed to shore up here for this fight.
In the light heavyweight division, who do you have in the finals? Do you think Emiliano Sordi can come back and have a say, or do you like some of these UFC transfers? His opponent, by the way, on Thursday is going to be Shoeface Antonio Carlos Jr. He gets Emiliano Sordi, and Cesar Ferreira gets Martin Hamlet. Who advances?
I like Shoeface and I like Ferreira. Maybe I'm being a little bit of a homer because we just interviewed him, and I thought that his headspace, it seemed like he was in the right place. Mm-hmm. And then I've always liked Shoeface. I've always thought he was a tough out, man. And I think he's going to pull this one off.
I'm going to disagree on one of them. I like Emiliano Sordi to come through. Shoeface is tough. He's had his win streaks in the UFC even. But I noticed just there's a few big fights he's come a little bit short on, which tells me he may just not be that top 10, much less championship material, regardless of the promotion. And Emiliano Sordi is a defending champ. He had one hell of a 2019, undefeated all the way. But I do agree with you on Cesar Ferreira. That to me is probably my finals. But I never would have guessed Kayla Harrison versus Taylor Guardado. You just don't know what's going to happen. You know, when it comes to upsets and weigh-ins and good or bad nights. So tune in for sure, folks, on Friday night. Those fights take place on ESPN2, 10 p.m. Eastern for the main card. Those four fights we just talked about, prelims are available on ESPN Plus at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. Got to pivot here. Do you ever shave your balls and it ends up being as bloody as a Tyler Diamond and Brandon Lochnane fight or a Nate Diaz fight? As we all know, in the UFC, he gets down. Well, there's good news, because today's episode is sponsored by the official electric trimmer of UFC, Manscaped. And they just released their fourth generation performance package. Fellas, get your black belt and ball trimming and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com with the code MMAJunkie.
I actually have. I've been in that boat before. I have had the nicks. They are not fun, especially in that region. And then I even try to get a little cute, you know, and go and buy these when you're checking out at Walmart or something like that, and they're just kind of hanging there. They're like 10 bucks, and you go, ah, what the hell? You cannot go cheap on these types of products. You have to go big, man. It's a go big or go home. And that's why you got to use Manscaped.
For sure. You know, you hate it when your significant other gets mad because there's a mess on the bathroom floor, all right? You hate it, she hates it. Well, no worries, because this trimmer is waterproof, and you can trim them beautiful balls of yours, all of ours. We all got them. All us guys, we got them. We got two of them, and you can do it in the shower. This fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce the grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. Just as goes about them nicks. He covered them, but yeah, he's told me, man, he's been in some pain upstairs in that bathroom. You don't want them problems, folks.
Yeah, you don't want to be walking around with that limp like me. It don't look that cool. But I'll tell you what, man, you get 20% off plus free shipping with the code MMAJunkie at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code MMAJunkie at manscaped.com. It's time to knock out your pubes with Manscaped. Your balls and your sparring partner will thank you.
Faux show. All right, let's move on to the UFC. The UFC has Edson Barboza and Giga Chikadze on Saturday night in the main event. ESPN has got you covered for this one, 10 p.m. Eastern start time. For that main card, Brian Battle and Gilbert Urbina. Well, they're going to battle for the tough 29 middleweight final. Gilbert Urbina is going to be stepping in for Trajan Gore. And Brady Highstand versus Ricky Turcios, they compete in the tough 29 bantamweight final. Those are the two that should be in there. Again, Gilbert Urbina stepping in for Trajan Gore. Trajan Gore suffered a meniscus injury, so he'll compete later in the year. But look out for big things from that guy, man. He really, really impressed me. I was very impressed by the season of Tough 29. I think I've stated that many times, so I'm not going to go into it. But I'm really looking forward for this culmination here with those two matchups goes. We got Edson Barboza versus Giga Chikadze. Kevin Lee versus Daniel Rodriguez. So Kevin Lee competing as a welterweight here. Those are some good fights. Andre Petrosky, he's from Tough 29 as well. He's got Michael Gilmore. Gerald Meerschaert versus Mahmoud Muradov. That rounds out your main card on the prelims, ESPN Plus, 7 p.m. Eastern. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan versus Alessio De Chirico. Sam Alvey is back against Wellington Turman. Dustin Jacoby against Darren Stewart. You know those guys don't want to take it to the ground. And some other stars as well. Again, ESPN Plus early on, 7 p.m. Eastern. ESPN at 10 p.m. Eastern for the main card. Goes, thoughts on Barboza and Chikadze?
I was going to say the main event is the entire reason why you're going to be there. Everything else is gravy. But those two striking, they're not going to take it to the ground, man. They're going to stand in front of each other, and you got to look out for that Giga kick. Edson Barboza is probably jealous that his spinning wheel kick might have been eclipsed this past weekend, so maybe he tries to get a new highlight reel. That is going to be a fun fight, man. So that's definitely the fight to watch. As far as, like, I almost feel like I didn't watch Tough close enough, because when I looked at the odds, I was a little confused based on my picks that I turned in. But I feel like those two finals for this season of Tough are also going to be really, really fun fights.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Urbina coming in? Should it have been the guy that lost to Trajan Gore? Should they have maybe crowned a champion later, or did they need to crown him? I think we've discussed this before, but have you thought a little bit more about that still? I seem to go back and forth on it.
Yeah, initially I felt like it was silly, you know, like you're not going to get the real true result here. Right. And there's really no rush. It's not like before where you would build almost an entire card around this. It's not like that anymore. So I didn't feel like there was a rush to do it. But then when I started thinking about it, I guess it's no different than what would happen in the house. If somebody got hurt, somebody would step in. And that's exactly what happened here. So I guess I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it. It's still going to be a good matchup. And I still think deep down inside, because of how good Gore looked throughout the season, we might all kind of go like, I mean, I'm sure we can give him the winner. You know, I don't think anybody would have any problem with that down the road. Because, you know, who knows how long. He's a young guy. He might be able to recover a little quicker, but we can always get to that fight. But, yeah, I think now looking back, I think the UFC might have done the right move here.
Yeah. Well, at least we got the bantamweights. Hayastan and Tercios belong there. And, look, barring any last-minute injuries or any bouts of COVID, we're going to get, you know, the true 135 champion. And if Brian Battle wins, then at least somebody who won in the quarterfinals, where I guess the semifinals will be deserving of it. I'm not trying to hate on Gilbert Urbina. I probably would have answered the same way if they called me and said, would you like to fight Brian Battle for the, you know, the tough title? And maybe that'll be a storyline down the road if Urbina can pull it off and he gets to fight Trezeon Gore again. I'm sure he'd love to avenge it. So keep an eye on that. Of course, there's Invicta coming up on this weekend. One Championship has some offerings as well. I invite people to go to, whether it's on the website as well, you know, your desktop, laptop, for any of you that still use that. It seems to be more obsolete nowadays. But if you go to the schedule tab at the top, it'll take you to everything that's taking place this weekend. And those of you with tablets and smartphones that download or, you know, get your information via our free app. That's right, our free MMA Junkie app. Same thing. You can go there and get all of the upcoming events so you'll know exactly One Championship, Invicta, PFL, UFC, who's fighting, when, where, what channel, all that stuff, what broadcast partner. It's all there. We just don't have time to cover it all. But I do want to spend the last few minutes here as we end today's show on Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley. Goes, according to Tyron Woodley, this is going to be one of the highest or the highest grossing pay-per-view, MMA or boxing. You know, when he first says that, I feel like I want to take it easy. McGregor fought this year, for crying out loud. And there's probably some big boxing matches that might have a problem with that as well, including the big heavyweight boxing match between Fury and Wilder. But see, I don't know that stuff. I'm not a ratings guy, a TV guy. Who knows, man? These low-level, high-appeal boxing matches seem to be something else, you know, in terms of popularity. But putting that to the side, well, first of all, do you think Woodley is right? Is he, would he be better off just saying top 10, top 5, top 3? He went straight for the top. Do you agree with that? And second of all, does Woodley have a chance, or are we just homers? Because I heard something in terms of Woodley is a little predictable with the combos that he throws. You know, you can establish a jab, but if you're not following it up with your big right, you know, a lot of his success came from leg kicks and elbows and wrestling. Does he really have the boxing combos to match up with Jake Paul?
Well, first off, yeah, I think he would have been better off saying top three. Mm-hmm. Anytime you say you're going to be the top dog, you better be that or you're wrong. So I would have at least said top three. I will say it's happening at a really good time. There's not much going on. You know, the Olympics is over. It's preseason football. Hockey's gone. Basketball's gone. You just got baseball. So, yeah, maybe you could get – maybe there are people just starving for something and they're at home and they want to order a pay-per-view. It might be at a good time versus some of these other fights that might happen more closer to the end of the year where people are saving money for Christmas and all that stuff. So I wouldn't be shocked if it ended up that way. To answer your question, your second part of your question, I just feel like we're giving Jake Paul too much credit. Just because all he's doing is training boxing doesn't mean that he has the experience to actually sit down and maybe make those type of adjustments. Or like, it's one thing to see that, all right, to sit with your coach and say, hey, Woodley does do this and he does do that. But it takes a seasoned veteran to actually recognize that in a fight, have that thought process and say, here's what we've been training for. He's doing it. Okay, now I'm going to do my thing. Like, man, that happens later, you know, after 15 fights, 20 fights, experience. I don't know that Jake Paul really has that right now. Props to him for identifying it, him and his camp. I think Teddy Atlas said something pretty similar about Tyron Woodley's jab and, yeah, and all that. But again, like, Jake Paul is a decent boxer for how long he's been doing it, but he's not a professional like the way a Tyron Woodley. He may not be a professional in boxing, but he's a combat sports champion. You know, he's been in situations where I'm sure he's got his bell rung and he had to find a way to get out of it. I'm sure he's been nervous, but he's had to do it in front of thousands of people and he's gotten the job done. I don't know that Jake Paul's been through all those types of things. That being said, it might be the right guy. There's a reason he picked him. You know, I seriously doubt that Jake Paul's in the business of losing. So there may be reasons why he did pick Tyron Woodley, but my brain's going to have to say Tyron Woodley here in this one.
This is the first fighter that Jake Paul, I think, has to, let's not say fear, but be concerned with the opposition's power. The YouTuber, come on. The former NBA baller, Nate Robinson, no. Ben Askren, even. He should fear Ben Askren in an alley, but not, or on a wrestling mat, but not in a boxing match. I fell for that one. I plead guilty. I thought Ben Askren would at least get into close quarters and maybe put his head into the other guy's head, kind of like remind him this can easily turn into a street brawl, you know, maybe clinch up and yank one of his shoulders out of place. I don't know. We never even got to that. But Tyron Woodley does have the type of power that at least he should be concerned about. He hasn't had that in any of those other ones. So it's like if you and I were to fool around, we'll say, and I give you maybe not necessarily a Louisville Slugger bat, but one of them thick foam ones that still hurt, and maybe I'm hitting you with a pillow. You know what I mean? You're not going to be too concerned with the pillow, but I'm going to be concerned with that bat you're swinging at me. Because it can obviously do a lot more. And I think that's where he's at now. At least he knows that the other guy has a bat, we'll call it, and not just pillows that he's getting hit with. So he has to be concerned with that. But he oozes confidence. He trains. You know, he does seem to put in the work. And, again, Woodley did have that power, but he didn't have a variety of boxing combinations either. Well, so who knows where his confidence is as well, man, after taking four straight losses in MMA, you know, from going a world champion with four title defenses, dropping singles, mixing it up with people, you're on TMZ with your own show, and so many of that has gone away. Who knows where he's at in the confidence game as well?
The thing with me is the reason I think Tyron Woodley is going to win is not the reason most people think. You know, everybody cites Tyron's power, but I actually think that's the wrong way to go in this fight. I think that is how Jake Paul can catch you, is winding up that big shot. I think what he's better off doing is using his speed and just his low center of gravity and going to the body, just beating the shit out of his body nonstop. I think that's a lesson that maybe Jake Paul hasn't learned just yet. So I would do more of that. I would rough him up a little bit, and I wouldn't say I would try and get a decision, but I would beat him up early to the body and then go to the head in the later rounds and try and finish him that way. But I would try and win rounds.
Goes real quick before we leave. Who wins between Harrison and Nunes right now if they were to fight?
Nunes.
Who wins between Harrison and Cyborg if they were to fight?
Cyborg.
I think I'm with you. But does Harrison get mollywopped, or does she compete and make it fun and give those other ladies a scare?
I think, I'm going to say she gets mopped up, but it's only because I just feel like there's not enough there for us to make a decision to really, like, based on what we've seen from her, is great, but the level of competition is not anywhere near what the other two girls have faced. Yeah. So for us to say Kayla Harrison's going to go in and do this, I think would be irresponsible of us. Now, does she have the drive, the skill set to possibly do that? Yeah, if she went in and did something like that, it wouldn't shock me. But I don't know that there's enough evidence for us to say, yep, she's going in and she's doing that. There isn't.
You know, if Harrison were to not get hit and get a body lock and throw both of them, and don't forget, Amanda Nunes is also a black belt in judo, but let's just say she gets both Nunes and Cyborg down early in the first round when they're not sweaty and they're dry and it's easier for her to go for submission. I still think Nunes and Cyborg get up.
Possibly.
They're just that talented, you know, and we're back to striking where they have a decided advantage. So I think when I'm to the point where I know that, oh, cancel for Christmas, you know, like once Kayla gets a lot of other people down, their Christmas is canceled and that's it. It's over. But I think these two are so good that they can get up a couple times. And that's when we find out if Kayla has another gear, you know, and if she does, then you never know, you know. Don't doubt Kayla, that's for sure. Two gold medals and a world championship, jeez. And an MMA title, come on, she's no joke. But I still think the other two are just, I mean, specimens, strong, fast, dangerous. She's just not there yet, but it's getting really, really interesting. Folks, you can follow Goes on social media at MMA, excuse me, at the Goes, T-H-E-G-O-Z-E. I'm at MMA Junkie George. And check us out on youtube.com/ MMA Junkie Video, where you'll see a lot of Goes and I with full interviews like we just had with King Mo, but with other MMA fighters and notables throughout the week, as well as check out video franchises like Spinning Backlick and the new Legend of Legend that just dropped with Burt Watson interviewing George St. Pierre, that was produced by Goes and video edited by Abby Suhan. What a great job those guys did. I really, really enjoyed it. So again, look for all that at youtube.com/ MMA Junkie Video. All right, Goes, I'm back to breathing the thin air, 7,000 feet here in Lake Arrowhead, Big Bear area. And you go back and enjoy that 100-degree heat in Vegas, and we'll talk soon. Folks, go out there and be a champion. Enjoy your week. Keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the week.